ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Good morning. Welcome to AM. It's Tuesday, the 29th of April. I'm Sabra Lane coming to you from Nipaluna, Hobart. The Prime Minister's pushing back on suggestions that US President Donald Trump's unpredictable first months in office have aided his campaign. Senior Labor figures have been comparing the opposition leader Peter Dutton with President Trump, but Anthony Albanese insists Mr. Dutton's darkened his own brand. Here's political reporter Tom Lowry.
In the campaign's final days, both the Prime Minister and opposition leader have taken their message to primetime TV. Anthony Albanese on the ABC's 7:30.
Prime Minister, welcome to 7:30.
Good to be with you, Sarah.
And Peter Dutton on Nine's A Current Affair.
Mr. Dutton, really nice to see you. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
For weeks, Labor figures have sought to tie Peter Dutton to the US President Donald Trump, sensing Australian voters aren't liking what they're seeing in Washington, D.C. Anthony Albanese was asked if the US president has been a helpful campaign element.
Has Donald Trump come to your aid during this campaign, darkening the brand of hard men leaders?
I think Peter Dutton has darkened his own brand. He has made a career out of promoting division, about punching down on vulnerable people, about seeking to divide the community.
The Prime Minister was also pushed on whether a promise from the last election has been weighing him down. 3 years ago, Labor vowed to deliver a $275 saving on household power bills by 2025, pointing to modelling of its policies by energy analyst firm Reputex. That hasn't happened, with Labor instead offering repeated energy bill subsidies. The Prime Minister was asked if he regretted making the claim during the last campaign.
You cannot look back. What you can do is look forward. And what you do in looking forward is make sure that you address what is the cheapest form of energy going forward. And there is no question that is renewables firmed by gas with hydro and batteries.
Peter Dutton was pressed on his views on climate change and what he might tell his future grandkids.
If they do come to you and say, you know, Pop, why are there so many bushfires and floods? What do you say to them?
Well, I say to them that, that climate change can be a factor in that, but also we live in a country which has been well documented for thousands of years before we got here in terms of flooding plains and the bushfires and the devastation of flood and cyclone.
And he made a pitch to voters concerned about the climate.
If your main motivation to this election is how do we address climate change and how do we reduce our emissions, nuclear energy is the solution.
Major published opinion polls continue to point to a likely Labor win on election day. Peter Dutton says he's looking to Scott Morrison's unexpected election win in 2019 for inspiration.
Bill Shorten was definitely going to be the Prime Minister, and as it turned out, that wasn't the case. Bill Shorten lost.
Federal opposition leader Peter Dutton ending that report from Tom Lowry. Donald Trump's a factor in Canada's general election. His tariffs and musings about annexing the nation have become key issues and have changed the course of the race. Just a few months ago, pundits had written off the Liberals, but under new leader Mark Carney, the party might just win against Conservatives under Pierre Poilievre. Carrington Clark reports from Ottawa.
At polling stations across the country, Canadians are exercising their democratic muscle. Here in the capital, Ottawa, many think the future of their nation is on the line.
The thing I'm most worried about this election is Canada going to remain a free country, you know, independent of, like, US domination?
I voted Liberal because I think right now we need an economist.
It's important to have a leader that's not going to back down. We don't want to be the 51st state. None of us want that.
The threat is United States President Donald Trump, who's loomed large over this election. Even today, he took to social media to encourage Canadians to elect someone to turn Canada into the 51st state of America. It was unclear exactly who that was. Some might excuse the comments as simple trolling, but Trump's willingness to hurt the Canadian economy with tariffs and threats to cut military ties has shaken this country. Liberal Party leader, Prime Minister Mark Carney, has made confronting Donald Trump a key part of his messaging.
Our old relationship with the United States is over, unfortunately. And America's leadership of the global economy is over. And this
This is a tragedy. This is still in play, but it is a tragedy. It is also our new reality. We have to recognise it.
Polls suggest it's been working. Last year, the Liberals were trailing the Conservative opposition by double digits. Then Trump took back the White House and started slinging insults at America's northern neighbour. Former central banker Mark Carney took over the top job from former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau last month and is now favourite to keep it. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre has tried to keep the focus on local issues, including the cost of living, immigration and housing.
We are voting for change because we love this country and we want every single person to have the promise of Canada, that anyone who works hard can have a great life in a beautiful, affordable home on a safe street under our proud flag.
But today he fired back at Trump's post, telling the US president to stay out of the Canadian election. But even before the social media post, Donald Trump was centre stage for this election and may prove to be the deciding factor. This is Carrington Clark in Ottawa, reporting for AM.
Banking passwords belonging to 31,000 Australian customers have been stolen using malware, that is, software designed to scoop up that secret information. It's being traded and shared by cybercriminals. The discovery follows recent attacks on Australian superannuation funds. During that episode, $500,000 was stolen from several pensioners. National technology reporter Ange Lavoie-Pierre has the story.
The banking logins of at least 14,000 CommBank customers, 7,000 ANZ customers, 5,000 NAB and 4,000 Westpac customers are currently up for grabs on Telegram and on the dark web. The security flaw isn't with the banks, though. It's much closer to home. The culprit is a specific kind of malware called an info stealer, and it's scraping customers' data from their own computers.
So info stealer malware is predominantly created by criminals to land on your computer and very quickly take as much information, hence the name, as possible to send that straight back to the criminals.
Jamie O'Reilly is the founder of cybersecurity firm Devoolin. He started researching the scale of the info stealer problem among bank customers after super funds were attacked using stolen passwords.
We've seen a tight correlation between the use of info stealer malware and using those passwords to conduct these type of attacks against individuals.
The 31,000 banking customers whose passwords he found are most likely unaware of the risk they face. Leonid Rosenberg is from Hudson Rock, a cybersecurity firm specializing in info stealer malware.
So the threat actors, they can use this bank account to link to some kind of payment system or to use it again to transfer funds, or it used for the money laundering.
The use of info stealers has exploded in recent years. Hudson Rock says there are now more than 58,000 infected devices in Australia and more than 31 million globally, each of them storing much more than just bank passwords.
We see that average victim has around between 200 up to 300 accounts stored inside the browsers.
Once the stolen data has been sent back to cybercriminals, it's listed on dark web markets and the messaging service Telegram, where Jamie O'Reilly sees it change hands for breathtakingly low prices.
You can pay $400 US, and then what that entitles you to is every month 100 to 200,000 new logs from, 100 to 200,000 infected computers.
That's $626 Australian at the current exchange rate. Or to put it another way, less than 1 cent for all the passwords saved on a single computer. Jamie O'Reilly says there are steps people can take to protect themselves. But the bad news is a new password won't fix the problem.
If you have info stealer malware on your device, it's the equivalent of changing your locks while the burglar is still in your house.
Instead, make sure to change your password on a separate, secure device. Above all, the advice is to stay on top of your antivirus and software updates.
Ange Lavoie-Pierre there. The ABC's obtained new documents showing a disparity between cases of Victorian police officers accused of family violence and criminal defendants in the general community. Victoria Police has a special team dedicated to investigating serious cases of sexual and family violence by serving officers. Anti-abuse advocates say there are now serious questions about the unit. And a warning, the story details allegations of sexual and family violence. Kimberly Price reports.
When Kate, that's not her real name, was 17, she alleges her boyfriend's father started making sexual advances, initially with forced hugs. A voice actor is being used.
Like, my hands are just down to my side and he would just make me do it again.
Kate didn't want to hug her boyfriend's dad, who was a Victoria police officer, but she says he insisted.
Well, I felt really uncomfortable, but we never, like, spoke about it, like, ever.
Kate told her mum Claire, also not her real name, what was happening. Kate also revealed instances where the police officer would allegedly tell her to sleep in the same bed with him and touched her inappropriately. Claire was shocked.
That night I couldn't even sleep. I'm thinking, who do I tell about this? I literally have no idea. I honestly didn't have a clue what to do, and so I Googled.
Claire came across SOFU, Victoria Police's Sexual Offences and Family Violence Unit, which is tasked with investigating allegations of serious and complex sexual and family violence against Victoria Police employees. So she approached a SOFU police officer.
He says, you know, you don't live there, so you can choose never to go back to their house again. So the fact that he just took our phone call, gave us ridiculous advice, didn't do any investigation, didn't do any follow-up calls, what's the whole point of this department? And I did think, you know, if it was a different independent body who'd run this department, I really think that it would have been done a full investigation.
Through a separate Victoria Police investigation, the police officer was charged with 2 counts of intentionally touching. The Office of Public Prosecutions later recommended the charges not proceed, and they didn't. While advocates note some positive interactions with the Special Investigations Unit, SOFU, documents obtained by the ABC under Freedom of Information show, statistically, Victoria police officers charged with family violence are more likely to have their matters withdrawn compared to defendants in the community. It also shows Victorian police officers are less likely to be found guilty. Lauren Caulfield is a coordinator of the Beyond Survival Policing Family Violence Project.
We know that police officers remain significantly less likely to have any charges against them actually prosecuted in court and vastly more likely to avoid conviction.
SOFU's Detective Superintendent Sharon Congreve said in a statement, the figures actually show Victoria Police is relentless in pursuing those employees who choose to perpetrate family violence. Detective Congreve also says Kate's case was fully investigated and SOFU is focused on providing a victim-centric response.
Kimberly Price and Hayley Gleeson reporting, and if you or anyone you know needs help, you can call 1-800-RESPECT, that's 1-800-737-732. If it's an emergency, call 000. Young women may be a key voting bloc in this election, and experts say the major parties are struggling to connect with this highly progressive group. New data from ABC Vote Compass shows more than two-thirds of Gen Z women identify as left-leaning, far in front of their male peers or women of other generations. Isabella Higgins has more.
18-year-old Emma Garvey has a lot to think about as she prepares to vote for the first time in a federal election. Most of all, the Sydney student has frustrations with the major parties.
I feel like a lot of their policies don't really apply to us or appeal to us, especially in regards to climate. Like, we're the ones that are going to have to deal with this climate crisis and it's not being addressed. Cost of housing is another thing.
Like many other women her age, she's drawn to progressive ideas and policies. In her friend group, some are still deciding how to cast their ballot, but they are certain who they won't be supporting.
I feel like a lot of people are more anti-Dutton than they are pro-Albanese. Like, they're more anti-Liberal than they are pro-Labor. Most people have had a really negative reaction to Dutton trying to implement Trump policies.
ABC Vote Compass data found 67% of women under the age of 29 identified as left or moderately left. This compared to 50% of men their age and 52% of women from older generations. Professor Michelle Arrow, a modern history professor from Macquarie University, says this mirrors trends happening around the world.
It's happening across the many Western democracies, where women's vote is shifting from a more conservative base, which it was right up until the 1980s and 1990s.
The Australian Election Study found at the last national poll in 2020, the coalition had a historic low performance with women and young people. Professor Arrow says major parties often campaign to families and mothers, not young women with different circumstances. chances.
Young women are not yet recognised as a sort of central or a really important voting category. We still see a lot of the offerings more broadly in the campaign have been around cost of living relief rather than things that have been specifically targeted to young women.
19-year-old Stella Jacon is a University of Wollongong student who's still deciding how she'll vote, but thinks politicians don't understand the challenges of being young today.
Again, Greens are definitely up there for me right now with their promises of looking at the problem of student debt, the current living situation for lots of people. You know, all the negative gearing is not allowing people of my age or even a little bit older to not find proper housing.
Meanwhile, Emma Garvey thinks politicians should spend less time on social media platforms and more time working on policies.
They're trying to appeal to young voters in general through like their use of like TikTok and stuff and just sort of like jumping on trends randomly. But I don't think they're doing a lot with policy-wise to really connect to them.
First-time voter Emma Garvey, ending that report by Isabella Higgins. And you can find out how your views compare to the major parties with Vote Compass. Go online, answer a few questions about the issues that matter most to you, and you might be surprised to see where you stand on the political spectrum. Just head to abc.net.au/vote-compass. The huge rural seat of Lingiari in the Northern Territory had the lowest turnout at the last federal election, just one in three voters did not vote. In the remote eastern Aranda community, Santa Teresa, about 80 kilometres east of Alice Springs, residents are frustrated by broken promises and want basic services like roads and housing fixed. Alex Barwick reports.
Driving out from Alice Springs to the remote community of Santa Teresa or Ginger Porter for the community sports weekend, it's immediately clear why the unpaved, potholed red dirt road is an ongoing source of frustration for locals.
Well, health is a priority for the road. Got our renals that travel on this road 3 times a week.
Aranda man Darren Young explains residents with kidney disease have to travel to and from Alice Springs for dialysis along this bumpy road. Plus, there's the poor housing conditions.
So nothing's really happening at the moment. So just band-aid job at the moment with housing and stuff.
Ellie Kamara, the CEO of AAAC, the local Indigenous-run organisation, says the community has been calling for the road to be sealed for decades.
Not having the paved road contributes to keeping people in poverty because the road eats car tyres, it eats the suspension when it's in a really bad nick, steering wheel columns break. And in 1 week towards the beginning of this year, the clinic popped 4 tyres.
The current member for the seat of Lingiari, Labor's Marion Scrimger, says the federal government handed over $80 million to the territory government to finish sealing the road after the 2022 election. In a statement, a CLP government spokesperson said design work on the road would be completed by June this year and that final sections of the road involve complex cultural and environmental planning. Broadly, community members feel let down though, and they're also frustrated by ongoing overcrowding in their homes, which they say are poorly maintained.
Imagine if your aircon wasn't working and you're overcrowded and you're living in a house, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom house with 16 people. It's crazy. It's not fair. We've got people in the community who are living in houses where there is a gap between the roof and the wall, you know, where it rains inside when it rains. The houses are hot in the summer, they're cold in the winter.
Like the road to Ginger Porter, housing is a territory government responsibility, but much of the funding is from the federal government. Darren Young's aunt, Claire Young, is the chair of the local decision-making organisation at AAAC and says she has low expectations of the politicians vying for her vote.
I've seen a lot of politicians come here promising to do things for us and nothing's been done.
Darren also feels cynical about the election.
Oh, I don't really care much because, you know, nothing happens out here with the elections and stuff, you know. You vote, they just forget, so I'm not really bothered about it.
But you still vote?
Yeah, still vote, put my vote in.
The Territory Government says it's aware of poor housing conditions in many remote communities, but that new builds and refurbishment is taking place in Ginger Porter. Lingiari's incumbent, Labor's Marion Scrimger, says she'd like progress reports on how money is being spent from the $4 billion Remote Housing and Homelands Agreement, jointly funded between the Territory Government and the Federal Government over the next decade.
Alex Barwick reporting. That's AM for today. Thanks for your company. I'm Sabra Lane.
Hi, I'm Sam Hawley, host of the ABC News Daily podcast. It's one of the most highly anticipated trials in recent memory. Erin Patterson is accused of murdering three people and attempting to murder another after serving up a beef Wellington, allegedly laced with lethal deathcap mushrooms. Today, Stephen Stockwell, co-host of the ABC podcast Mushroom Case Daily, on what to expect as proceedings get underway. Look for the ABC News Daily podcast on the ABC Listen app.